Welcome to Torati Mecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. This week, Parshas Vayishlach, we read Sefer Ovadia. The entire Sefer is one chapter, and that is our Haftorah. What is the connection to our Parsha? Sefer Ovadia is the prophecy of the ultimate destruction of Esav, of Edom. And of course, our Parshas Vayishlach begins with the much anticipated, much dreaded meeting of Yaakov and Esav. Esav, who had sworn revenge against Yaakov. Esav, who arrived with 400 men ready for war. And of course, Parshas Vayishlach also tells the story of the encounter between Yaakov and, according to Medrash, the Tsar of Esav. When the angel of Esav cannot vanquish Yaakov, he gives Yaakov a new name. Chapter 32, verse 29, Vayomer, Lo Yaakov Yeomer Od Shimcha, Ki Im Yisrael, Ki Sarisa Im Elohim V'im Anashim Vatuchal. And he said, Yaakov will not be said to be your name anymore, but Yisrael, for you have striven with beings divine and human, and have prevailed. This name of Yisrael is a bit of a loaded name. It's not someone who sails through life. Yisrael is someone who fights battles that are ridiculously and impossibly imbalanced. The name Yisrael embodies the essence of striving and overcoming seemingly insurmountable challenges, literally forced to fight an angel. But one who strives, who finds the inner strength and courage, and who ultimately survives the attack and prevails. Looking back at our history, even just the past century alone, we have certainly earned the name Yisrael. So that is who we are. And who is Esav? And how will they ultimately be destroyed? Our Haftorah begins verses 1 to 4, rebuking Esav for his misplaced arrogance. Bazoya tamaod, hine katon nisaticha. The Psiksa Rabasi explains, you may think you are so lofty and powerful, but God says, I want you to know that in my eyes you are small. You really are very despicable and lowly. But zadon libcha hisiacha, the arrogance of your heart raises yourself so high, you say, who could ever bring me down? And in verse 4, im tagbia kanesher, v'im bein kochavim simkinacha, misham oritcha ne'um Hashem. If you raise yourselves as an eagle, you place your nest among the stars, I'll bring you down from there. Verses 5 to 9, Ovadia foretells the destruction that will ultimately be his lot, as he will find himself abandoned by his allies, isolated and vulnerable. And the Navi employs the metaphor of thieves and marauders. Even if they steal, they leave something behind. But you, Esav, you will be left absolutely, completely plundered and decimated. And why will Hashem punish them so completely? Verses 11 to 14 tells us it was the cruel and callous reaction to the suffering and punishment of Yaakov, who the Pasuk reminds us, Achicha Yaakov, he is your brother Yaakov. You stood by nearby with joy and mocking. How could you gaze with glee on your brother that day, on his day of calamity? How could you gloat over the people of Judah on that day of ruin? How could you loudly jeer on a day of anguish? And so, what you did to them will ultimately be your fate. Verse 18, V'haya beis Yaakov eish uveis Yosef lahava uveis Esav lakash v'dalku bahem. The house of Yaakov will be fire, the house of Yosef a flame, as the house of Esav will be straw. And the Haftorah concludes with salvation for Yaakov, with a beautiful homecoming and return of Yaakov from all of their exiles, from Sfarad and from Tsarfas, from all over the world. And verse 21, this pasuk that we know so well from our davening, Ve'alu Moshiin Bahar Tzion Lishpot Es Haresav V'haisa LaHashem Hamalucha. When ultimately saviors will rise on the mountain of Tzion to judge the mountain of Esav, that's when the kingdom will be God's. The prophet of our Haftorah is Ovadia. So who is Ovadia? What do we know about this prophet? He was a Ger Edomi, a convert from the nation of Edom, of Esav. And who were his bosses? Who did he work for? He worked for the notorious Ahav and Izebel, perhaps the most evil couple in Jewish history, murderous, idol-worshipping, capricious, and cruel. In fact, Chazal tell us that this is why he was chosen to give this prophecy of doom to Esav. Let someone who was surrounded by evil and was yet righteous, like Ovadia, speak out against Esav, who was surrounded by tzaddikim and was still evil. The bracha of Al HaTzaddikim that we say in Shmona Esrei is a bracha that focuses in on our leaders, our sages, our tzaddikim, and begs Hashem to protect them because we need them so badly. It also includes gerim, converts. The truth is, there is a common denominator between tzaddikim and gerim. Both have had to swim against the tide, to act independently, to think independently. If we think about the huge sacrifice a convert makes in order to courageously join our nation, the huge investment of time and effort, often the sacrifice of family and friends, the disengagement from former societies, truly every ger is a tzaddik in a real way. And we kind of wish that every convert be embraced by the best our society has to offer, that they stay connected to true and proud Jews who can support them on their difficult and often lonely journey. Let every Rus find her Naomi. Which is why we are truly inspired and amazed at Ovadia. He became Jewish during the evil reign of Ahav and Izebel, when all around him idol worship was rampant. And he was actually employed by this couple, this epicenter of evil. And yet, he remained true to his values, true to his convictions. And Melachim Aleph tells us that when Izebel set out to massacre every Navi Lashem, Ovadia actually saved 100 of them in two caves, 50 prophets in each, learning from Yaakov's action in our Parsha, when he divided his family into two camps in the hopes that if one was attacked, at least the other would survive. And as the Haftorah of Parshas Vayera alluded to from Melachim Beis, Ovadia devoted all of his own funds to this project. So let the one who swam against the tide, who found the inner strength to stand up to the values surrounding him and chose to be his own person, let him speak out against Esav, who was surrounded by tzaddikim, who had so many positive influences around him, who was the child of Yitzchak and Rivka, and still chose evil. It's interesting to contemplate that Esav, for us, through the eyes of Chazal, is not merely someone who lived a life of violence and greed. He chose the path of deceit and malevolence. He is someone who invested effort in masquerading as a tzaddik, asking his saintly father complex and lofty questions about tithing salt and straw, depicting himself as a scrupulously honest person going above and beyond the call of duty. He was not just passively evil, but actively engaged in creating a facade of piety. As previously mentioned in the series, in the latter vision that Yaakov had in Parshas Vayetze, the Medrash tells us that he foresaw all four exiles, each one represented by angels ascending the ladder and ultimately falling. But the final one of Esav was represented by angels going up and up and not coming down. The Medrash says that Yaakov cried out in fear, "Will they never come down? Will it never end?" And Hashem responds with our verse 4 from our Haftorah, "Even if they place their nests among the stars, from there I will lower them." Why is it so difficult to end this exile? Why do we need divine intervention and help? Why does this exile, both in the dream and in our painful reality, just seem to go on and on endlessly? The challenge of this exile seems to be this: like Esav himself, we fall into the same trap. There is so much focus on the external and superficial, on looking good rather than being good. Let no one question my facade of perfection. The difficulty seems to lie in the pervasive focus on external appearances rather than genuine inner growth and change. This challenge is compounded by the distractions and pressures of maintaining a facade of perfection, which diverts attention from the real work of self-improvement and spiritual development. Verse 6 in our Haftorah, Eich nechpesu Esav, nivu matzpunav. How was Esav uncovered and his hidden depths laid bare? Ultimately, this is the destiny of all of us. Our true essence, who we are inside, will eventually be revealed. Facades are removed and the person within is exposed. And many an emperor and an Esav is discovered to be without clothes. So who are our role models in combating this tendency, this focus on externals? Of course, we have already mentioned both Yaakov, renamed Yisrael, and the prophet Ovadia, who both demonstrate this willingness to truly fight evil and retain their own integrity. But there is another one as well, and this is Yosef. As verse 18 in our Haftorah tells us, ultimately, it will be the flame of Yosef that will destroy the straw of Esav. Straw, the definition of something that while it may seem to be so vast and pervasive, with the fire of integrity, of true, authentic work, it is so easily destroyed. Yosef's story, which unfolds in next week's Parsha, highlights his incredible resilience and moral fortitude. At just 17 years old, Yosef is betrayed by his own brothers, sold into slavery in a foreign land. And despite these overwhelming challenges, he remains steadfast in his values. Yosef's encounter with Potiphar's wife is a powerful example of his unwavering commitment to righteousness. Vulnerable, young, friendless, and dealing with so much traumatic baggage, and facing his master's wife, who not only obsessively, persistently, and manipulatively attempted to seduce him, according to the Gemara, she threatened him with jail, with torture. And despite it all, Yosef resists and retains his moral compass and commitment to integrity. And later, when he is reunited with his brothers who had done so much to hurt him, he forgives and ultimately and shockingly takes care of them in their need. In Parsha Shemos, Yosef is singled out and defined as someone who stays true to himself. Truly tested by fire, Yosef remains Yosef through it all. We read this Haftorah about the eventual destruction of our enemies, of our ultimate return and salvation, and we cry out to Hashem, but it seems to go on and on, this exile. When? When will this finally happen? And deep down, we know the answer. It will happen when we follow the fire of Yosef, of Yisrael, of Yaakov, when we learn from Ovadia to not be a facade, to make real changes, to be true to who we are, when we can conquer the Esav within ourselves, then the final verse will come true. Va'alu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishbotis Haresav V'haisa Lashem Hamlucha. The Saviors will come on Har Tzion to judge the mountain of Esav, and Hashem will truly have his kingdom. Thank you for studying together.